On this edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcasts, my partner Gordon Whitmire and I review the Cubs' loss to the Rangers on opening day, the injury to Justin Steele, and of course, we spar about what the Cubs could do to fix their ailing starting rotation. Welcome in to another edition of our Cubs Recap Podcast, the presentation of our YouTube Recap channel, as well as available audio only everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. With my partner, Gordon Whitmire, I'm David Kaplan. Baseball is back, baby! Opening day better than my birthday. The Cubs were 4-3 extra inning losers to the defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. They could not capitalize on a massive missed call in the top of the ninth because Adbert Alzolay grooved one to Travis Jankowski to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth, and then they lost it in extra innings. Oh, so close. Gordon, that was not a good opener for a number of reasons. Number one, your number one starter got hurt.
That's the only reason, Cap. That's the only thing that matters. Keep going.
Okay. Number two, you blew a save already in the ninth when you had a chance to put them down in their building. Number three, you had opportunities to score. Bases loaded in the 10th. Morrell hits one that is literally like an inch foul. I mean, it missed the foul pole by that much.
Yeah.
And then why Drew Smyly's facing Jonah Heim, who career against left-handed pitchers is hitting 280 with an over 800 OPS against righties. He is hitting 215 with like a 600 OPS, and he's a switch hitter. Why you didn't go to Jose Quas, turn him around, I don't know. But it's one game. Everyone tells me it's early, Cap. There's 161. They all mean the same, Gordon. But losing Justin Steele, that's a massive blow.
That is the story of the week. That series, the first month probably of the season, because how many times did I say on this podcast, go get some more effing pitching? How many times did I say you don't have enough? And that was before Jameson Taillon went down with the back.
Mm-hmm. Now, not he's enough close, depth, supposedly. At least. He's close to coming back.
Okay, well, good. Now Justin Steele's down. And this was a team that already was going to open the season with maybe a young guy at the back end in Jordan Wicks, which is okay if you've got four guys you can rely on in the top four. Then Jameson Taillon has his issue. Now you got two young guys at the back end. That's fine. But you had Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell out there nearly the entire freaking spring training when you saw some of this stuff develop. Both those guys were still out there when Taillon went down. And so, look, man, this reminds me the way the Cubs went into the season reminds me a lot of me doing this podcast. They're not wearing any pants. These guys going
that's
in
scary.
With their pants down this year. And they had a chance to be better prepared than that. They had a chance to put their foot on the throats of this division. This division isn't very good. And might I remind you, Blake Snell eventually got a 2-year contract, high AAV, opt out on the back end of the first year. So 30 a year, yeah, fine. But if he has a good year, he's opting out. The Giants get him, right? So then Montgomery is the last guy. The Diamondbacks had an injury to Eduardo Rodriguez, their big pitcher they signed in the offseason. So what do? They go get Montgomery on a one-year, $25 million deal. It's got a vesting option for the second year, which is minimum 20, maximum 25, depending on the incentives. You're telling me the Cubs couldn't do that? You're telling me the Cubs couldn't beat one of those deals by a dollar and gotten that guy even before the Steele injury and been better prepared to not only win this division going away, but maybe have a chance in the postseason? that looked a lot better than it did before that. I'm telling you, the front office, I mean, I got a whole bunch of words that start with F in mind. And one of them's failure, and one of them's committing fraud on your fan base. And the other one, well, I'm not sure we can say that even on this podcast.
Okay, a few things. And you won't agree with me, and that's fine. That's why we have such a well-listened-to podcast, because we're friends and we spar. Jordan Montgomery's on his fourth team in 3 years. People treat him like he's a 25-year-old Max Scherzer, for crying out loud. That's one.
You don't need a 25-year-old Max Scherzer. You need a guy that can give you 30 starts. Good ones. They don't have to be all-star starts or Hall of Fame starts.
Okay, I've got Ben Brown, who I think they're going to bring up pretty soon. I got Tyone coming back. I got Cade Horton, who I don't think they're going to bring him up till June. But if he starts the season well, which I have every reason to believe he will, he'll be here sooner rather than later. I've got Hayden Wisniewski. I've got Keegan Thompson. I've got Jordan Wicks. Like, I've got a lot of depth in my system.
No, you've got a lot of hope. You've got a lot of hope. You got a lot of prospects. None of those guys are guarantees, and you're the Cubs, who are already flirting with the luxury tax threshold. You shouldn't be sitting there rolling dice on young guys that aren't proven. And what Wisniewski's proven is that he's had a very tough time in the big leagues. So, and you know, are you going to roll dice with Smiley? Is Smiley the guy you want in there? You're talking about these young guys. But all the young guys are crapshoot dice rolls, man. One of them might do great. You don't have the luxury of that. You're supposed to be winning this year, my man.
So the Arizona Diamondbacks are now at a all-time record payroll of $175 million. The Cubs are at $231 million.
Yeah.
Now, to go out, and Jesse Rogers said this morning. This was not me. I didn't even think of it this way. Jesse said to sign Montgomery, and he was not against signing him. You would be into the luxury tax, he said, to the point where it would not be 1 year for 25, it would be 1 year for in the 30s because of the overage charge.
Fine.
My point is, I'm not convinced Jordan Montgomery is the be-all, end-all. I'd rather give my younger pitchers a chance. Now, if you tell me Jameson Taillon's out for 3 months and Justin Steele's out for 3 months, it's a different argument. I don't think Tyone's far away from coming back. I feel like there's depth in the system.
Nobody ripped Tyone more than you with last year. Nobody ripped Tyone more than you last year, and even going into this year in terms of what you expected out of him. He had a poor year last year.
He did not have a great year last year. You're correct. So I've got him locked up at, what, $18 million a year, $17 million a year? I got to let him pitch.
Absolutely, but he's a back end guy in your rotation at this point. He's back end expectations at this point. Look, man, you want to criticize the Montgomery signing, and you want to say that, well, he's not Max Scherzer, and you want to say that's going to kick him into the luxury tax. Of course it's going to kick him into the frickin' luxury tax, but it's for 1 year. It's a short-term contract. It's not a bad contract in that regard, and it's a great way. It was already a great way to bolster your pitching staff, give you depth deeper into your five-man rotation. And now if you had him, it would be a massive safeguard against however long Justin Steele's going to be out. And by the way, they didn't sound too damn optimistic post-game last night, Thursday night. He wouldn't even speculate. Steele wouldn't even try to downplay it. That tells me we're looking at a month, man, if we're looking at anything.
Yeah, Steele was, when he was laying on the ground, you can find the video on social media if people want to do that. As he's laying there, he took a deep breath and he says to Nick Frangella, the trainer, he said, it's a cramp. But then after the game, Craig Counsell said, it's a hamstring strain. We'll know the severity in the morning when we get an MRI. And it's a likely DL stint or IL stint. So yep. I'm with you. I don't think he throws a meaningful pitch in the big leagues until the beginning of May.
Now, keep this in mind, too. He's not in midseason form. The season just started. So he had just built up to being able to start the season and maybe flirt with 90, 100 pitches. So what happens when he gets healthy again, that he can get on a mound and start throwing with full strength again? He's got to build up again. There's going to be a minor league rehab assignment almost certainly. So
this could be 6 weeks unless they dodge the bullet.
And you want to know, by the way, I took a look at this schedule. So they've got off days on Friday, the day after the opener. They got off days on the 4th, the 11th. And then not again until the 27th. They've got enough games in between those off days. They can't skip a starter. And furthermore, you've got, after Texas, the defending champs, you come home for the opener against the Rockies. Okay, nice little soft spot on the schedule. After that, it's LA at home, San Diego on the road. Then you get the off day. Then it's at Seattle, at Arizona, home against the Marlins, which are not pushovers, especially historically for this club. Then is an off day. Then you got Houston. There's your first month of the season, man. That is a gauntlet.
So I understand where you're coming from, that, and Jesse and Che, my producer, going, hey, you've got to be able to add some starting pitching here, and whether that was Jordan Montgomery, who's now off the market. What about the name Mike Clevenger? He's still out there.
Man, I know you're just you're playing devil's advocate with me on that one. You don't want him in your clubhouse any more than I would suggest putting him in that clubhouse. Now, he's a good pitcher, and maybe you sign him on a 1-year deal, and you have a zero tolerance policy with any sort of bullshit. Sure, go ahead. Because you are trying to win, and to give credit where it's due, there are some strong personalities in that clubhouse. There are some veterans. So
yeah, the Dansby Swansons and the Bellingers, yeah. Yan Gomes, those people can hold people accountable.
So you get him on a short-term deal, that might be an option. I do think that this calls for pulling out all stops and looking for outside help that you can bank on more than some of these dice rolls. You've got way too many of these younger guys at the back end of the rotation right now. You're staring in the face the kind of a schedule, the kind of lineups you're going to face over these next few weeks, with a rotation that's got three guys in it that have very little experience. You combine all their experience together, it's not a full year in the big leagues. It's not even close. In terms of starting, and now you're going to ask him to face Mookie Betts and Otani and Freeman, and the Padres still have Manny Machado and a bunch of good hitters, the Astros, Altuve and the boys. Seattle's that's going to be on the road. You're not going to score many runs there. Probably they got a really nice pitching rotation. And so, you're going to have to really pitch. And if you start getting into your bullpen in the 4th and 5th innings a little more often than you planned on, things can go south on you pretty fast.
There's no question. So as I watched that game last night, and I did not like that Smiley was in there to face Jonah Heim, but it's one game. It is what it is. Christopher Morel looks like he is set up to have a monster-type season. He had a single, a triple. He nearly hit a grand slam that probably would have won the ball game. I mean, it was that close. I like their lineup. I do. I think the lineup looks like it's pretty good. Saya looks good. Bellinger came through with a really nice piece of hitting. Pulled his hands in, knocked it down the right field line to drive in Saya. I just am a little concerned that bullpen still isn't good enough.
That's the concern, right? And we talked about that.
See, I feel like the short term, if Tyone's back quickly, I think I could cover the starting pitching unless you tell me Steele's a 2-month injury. Then I'm more concerned about the bullpen.
Right, and you might want to consider, as these guys all move up a spot in the rotation to cover for Steele's absence, filling the back end, you might want to consider almost a piggyback option. You just have two guys available to give you innings each day that spot comes up. whoever that is, whether you fill it with Wisniewski or Brown or whomever. So that now that's going to squeeze your bullpen just a little bit more. But if you've got guys that are capable, stretched out enough and have enough pitches that they can compete a full time or even maybe a little more through the batting order, then maybe you can fill one guy's loss with two guys. But then that puts a premium on the innings in those other four spots. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing, Cap, you got the best goddamn manager in the game.
Yeah, I was a little hacked off with him when I saw Smiley face and Heim, and I went, okay, Heim got screwed on the ball that got fouled off of Mastroboni's bat, hit his shin guard, kicked away, and he shouldn't have started arguing with the umpire. He should have gone and gotten the ball first. But he came to the plate, and I immediately turned to my wife and said, I'm going upstairs. She said, where are you going? I said, karma. This dude's going to get a hit. Drew Smiley's not good against this dude in this situation. He doesn't have overpowering stuff. I'm going to get ready to do my recap. And then, bam, there it is, the right center. Told you.
So I'm watching, thinking the same thing. I mean, they got the out before that, and thinking, they're not getting this out. This guy.
Mastroboni made a really nice play on the out before.
He really did. He really did.
In the air, made a perfect throw to the plate. I'm like, wow, pretty good.
Yeah, the ESPN guy got it wrong at first. He said, yeah, he had the out at first. No, there was one out. Yeah.
Correct.
He had one place to go with that ball, and off balance, he made the throw, and it was just in
perfect
time.
Perfect throw.
That was a hell of a play.
I know I'm hard on him sometimes, but he made a hell of a play.
Absolutely.
There. So as I looked at the lineup, I'm like, Madrigal, you know my feelings on him. But if you're going to have Christopher Morel as your DH, my question is, why didn't you sign JD Martinez then?
Well, if you're Christopher Morel's going to be your DH, because they like Christopher Morel, they want to get him at bats, right?
I want to play him at third.
Oh, you want him at third. They obviously don't want him at third, man.
That's probably why.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last guy didn't want him at third either. And we saw it. You know, that's why he played so many positions, because there isn't that one that he does really well. By the way, do you remember David Bodie?
Yeah.
He's still in the organization, right?
He is, because they owe him $5 million this year.
Exactly. He's one of the one of the highest paid guys in AAA this year, and he's probably in the top. He might be in the top half. I need to look that up, because that's a hell of a stat.
How much he makes?
Well, I know what he makes. I'm just wondering, like, if he's actually in the upper half of the roster at this point.
I'll look that up while we're talking.
But yeah, he was another one of those guys, right? And now he just didn't, you know, they gave him the contract because he went to them and said, hey, can I have one of these guaranteed deals? Sure, you can have 5 years for 15. And, you know, Theo's thinking all along, well, this guy has enough hard contact rate that his trade value is high enough. We can always move that contract. Well, found out real quick that wasn't going to be the case. But at any rate, this was a guy who, part of his issue was, he was like a super utility guy. He didn't play anywhere particularly well. So they just moved him all over the place, kind of plugging him where a guy needed a day off or a guy was banged up, thinking his bat was going to play. And that's kind of where Morel is. What's frustrating about that is that I'm with you, Cap. Like, I really like Morel. Like, I like the energy that he brings. I like his personality. I love what he does for other guys around him as a teammate on the field, in the clubhouse. And he's just such an engaging, charismatic player who really does care and wants to help the team win and be great. It's just, he's just not good in the field in a way that helps a team like this, because they're really good in the field at a lot of places. And so
that Horner made yesterday, Corey Seager hit a freaking rocket one hopper, and Nico Horner somehow came up with it to end the inning, kept the Rangers from scoring in
that
situation.
He had a gold glove for a reason.
Yeah. Dansby Swanson had one where, I'm trying to remember which base runner it was, one of the young guys on Texas. Swanson made a play in the hole and a one-hop throw to first. He didn't get the guy. It was close, but most shortstops can't make the play that he made.
Right.
And I watched that team, and I think, they get some good health. They have the best team in the division. But this injury last night could be a major issue.
Yeah, and it really, when you start talking about the best teams, they have the best team defense. And for I don't care what the Cardinals want to say. They got the best team defense. And they can put a lineup on the field that's capable of scoring a few runs. It's capable of scoring against most good pitchers, too. So maybe not 8 runs against a good pitcher, but they're capable of, they're giving you competitive at bats fairly deep in the order. So I give them that, but it goes back to, this always goes back to pitching, Cap. And I've been beating this drum since the offseason. They didn't have enough. And now Steele, who needed to back up what he did last year for this team to be successful anyway, is hurt. Now he's going to miss a chunk of the season. Not 15 days. This is probably going to be 2 or 3 times that. And so that's a big, all of a sudden, I'm not sure you could have lost a guy that would have been a bigger loss. If Dansby goes on the IL, Horner moves over to short, and you can cover second.
Correct. I talked about this with somebody this morning. That is probably the most irreplaceable player on your roster is Justin Steele.
And it's very conspicuously massive because you didn't add to your pitching staff in a significant way. You got Imanaga, but you lost Stroman. And we've talked about that. You know, who knows which of those guys is better this year? We don't know yet. I mean, Stroman was really good for much of last year. Imanaga hasn't pitched in the big leagues yet. You know, so 6-1, half dozen the other. You know, let's just call that a wash. You haven't improved your pitching. And now the one guy, your one Cy Young candidate caliber guy, goes down on opening day. That was the biggest fear all along in not adding pitching. And so this isn't 2020 hindsight. You and I have been talking about this, and I've been F-bombing this idea for months.
Yeah, I wanted pitching with you. I'm just not hell-bent that, oh, my God, now I get it. He was the last guy available. I'm just not the biggest Jordan Montgomery guy. I'm not.
Let me ask you this. If Jordan Montgomery was available right now for the same price that he got from the Diamondbacks, would you be a bigger fan of his?
Boy, I look at his numbers and his analytics, they're okay. Like the thought of, I mean, there isn't, again, everyone will say sell more TD Ameritrade stock and don't tell me how much it costs. But if I add him at $25 million, that pretty much ties my hands the rest of the year.
How? No, it doesn't, Cap, for this reason. It puts you
in. I'm not saying it should. I'm telling you what the reality
is. It doesn't at all. Because if you make that choice, you're choosing to go into the luxury tax. And once you do, it's a long way to the next level. Now you've actually created flexibility within that choice. Because if you've decided to be at that level of the luxury tax, you can still make a move at the trade deadline. Maybe more of a move than if you're trying to stay under it. So
true.
You might be in better shape. And by the way, you've just created your trade deadline acquisition because he's under contract. If you had gone out and got Montgomery, he's under contract for the year. So now when Justin Steele does come back, boom, you're that much better and deeper. And you also have a way better idea of how these young guys are handling things this year and who can step in and stay and step up as you go into the heat of the second half.
David Bodie is 11th in Cubs payroll.
There you go, man. Wow.
There's 10 guys that make $6 million or more. Now you're also paying $7 million to Trey Mancini. So he's really 12th if you count that salary.
Yeah, so you're the, again, I'm going to say it like I always do. You're the Chicago freaking Cubs. You're paying these two guys, what? What'd you say? $12 million total each? Or $12 million total between the two of them? These guys are $12 million of you getting as close to the luxury tax as you already are. You
Who's $12 million? What did you say?
Mancini and Bodie.
Yeah, they're $12 million, correct.
So that's $12 million of your damn payroll that's pushing you even toward the luxury tax threshold. You owe it to your fans to actually get somebody that's going to help you like a goddamn pitcher.
Well, they go back to work on Saturday. Kyle Hendricks on the hill. I'll be interested to see. Short term, they'll have Assad. They'll have Wicks. They'll have Hendricks. They'll have Imanaga. And then the fifth start will either be Smiley or the fifth start will go to Hayden Wisniewski. Because
I got a thought for you, Cap, on this.
Got time.
As we go into that second game of the season with Kyle Hendricks on the mound. So I was talking with Ian Happ the other day, and I said, dude, if I got this calculated right, you got the second most tenure in this clubhouse. He says, yeah, I know. And I said, it seems like yesterday. He said, it goes by fast, man. I said, and the guy with the most tenure pointed over at Hendricks. I said, who would have thought he'd have been the last one here from 16? And he said, yeah, but he's, you know, that's who he is. That's how much he means to the organization. He said, I would have expected him to be here, but maybe I would have expected a few more too. But the point is, he is the last man standing. And then you got to go to Happ, who wasn't there. He came in the year after trying to help him back it up. This guy, the last man standing from 2016, all of a sudden, if we didn't already think it, he might be the most important figure in whether they can do anything this year.
Did you see what Javi Baez hit in spring training?
Well, at one point I looked up and it looked like he barely had a hit.
He was one for his first 20. And I think in spring training he hit, I don't know, like 100, whatever. He was terrible.
Didn't he have a good opener?
Huh?
Didn't he have a good opener and then he trolled the fans?
He got one hit yesterday at the Sox game.
Yeah.
Stole second, got himself the third, scored the game's only run on a sack fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it.
Because, I mean, that guy still, it's so tragic and frustrating, especially because I always liked Javi. He's got so much talent, man. And when he's fired up, you don't want to be playing him. But then he goes to Detroit and the pandemic year and it's so frustrating watching players like that. But man, when he wants it and he's on,
he's electric. Well, we will see how Jordan Montgomery does with the Diamondbacks. We'll see what the Cubs do to answer this. I'm all for letting some of these young kids try and earn a job in that rotation. If that doesn't work, boy, you better hope Justin Steele gets back quickly.
And don't lose sight of the fact that those two guys that we just talked about, Snell and Montgomery, went to two teams that you're going to have to beat for a playoff spot short of winning the division. I mean, obviously, you kind of looked at this as you had to win the division anyway to get in. But last year, it was the Diamondbacks that eliminated the Cubs, essentially, and finished one game better than them to get the last spot, wound up in the World Series. And the Giants weren't on anybody's radar until they're signing Chapman and go get Snell. And they made a couple of other sort of lesser under the radar deals before that when they added those guys, it suddenly makes them, there are a lot of people picking them for the playoffs. And I'm one of them.
Gordon, have a great rest of your day, man.
All right. You too, Cap.
All right. We'll see how our Cubbies do coming up here when they go back to work on Saturday. Gordon and I will be back together again next week. at a regular time. We wanted to do it on Friday because we want to let game one play out, and there was plenty to talk about. Have a great rest of your day. We appreciate you listening. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Hit that bell notification so you know we post new content. For Gordon, I'm Cap. Take that.